ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
50 years ago, on the 11th of November, a political earthquake erupted.
Well, may we say, God save the Queen.
It's the most famous chapter in our political history, and the fallout is still with us today. Hear the whole gripping story of the dismissal, unfolded scene by shocking scene, in our award-winning podcast, The 11th.
He looked at me and said, I owe history nothing.
Search for The 11th on the ABC Listen app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, it's Sam here. Before we get into today's episode, a big shout out to all of you who filled out our listener survey so far. We really appreciate it. Now, we're going to keep it open for a few more days, so jump in if you haven't already and let us know how you're feeling about the show. You can find it in our show notes or on our website. Just search for ABC News Daily. Three hours of free electricity in the middle of the day. Sounds pretty good. But is the federal government's latest solar offer going to reduce hefty power bills? Or is there a catch? Today, energy expert from the Grattan Institute, Alison Reeve, unpacks the ups and downs of the scheme that's set to start in July next year. I'm Sam Hawley on Gadigal land in Sydney. This is ABC News Daily.
Australian consumers in three states will get 3 hours of free solar power every day from next July, even if they don't have solar panels.
It's a plan to use Australia's plentiful supply of daytime solar power to help bring power bills down.
The federal government announcing it'll force energy retailers to offer free electricity to households.
This is not the answer to all the challenges in the energy grid, but it is a meaningful step forward, a material improvement, a chance to improve the opportunities for people to reduce their bills and put them in charge.
Alison, free power, surely it's what we all dream of, right? And the government thinks it's going to deliver it. Just tell me, what was your initial reaction to this idea? Because you are an expert in this field.
My initial reaction was that it sounds good on the surface, but the detail will still have to be worked out. And one of the things that might be a bit tricky for the regulator is to figure out how to do it such that people still end up better off and that people who have less control over their electricity use don't end up worse off.
Yes, right. Okay, so let's unpack the reasoning behind this offer of 3 hours of free solar energy every day. And that, of course, is whether you have solar or not. Just remind me briefly, what's on offer?
So the idea is that if you are in southeast Queensland, New South Wales or South Australia, and you are on what's called the default market offer, then you would be offered 3 hours of free electricity in the middle of the day. So it doesn't apply in Victoria, the ACT, Northern Territory or WA or Tasmania, but the details of exactly how the retailers would be asked to find this electricity and then what the charges for you would be at other times of the day are still to be worked out.
And Alison, because we have so many homes in Australia with solar panels, and that number is always increasing, we have this excess of solar in the middle of the day. So the government's trying to deal with that with this offer, is it?
It's partly to deal with that, yes. So at the moment, particularly on very sunny days where it's not particularly hot, there is so much solar in the middle of the day that in some states the solar has to be turned off and told not to send the electricity out to the grid because there's no one there to take it. So the hope is that by offering an incentive for people to shift their use to the middle of the day, we'll be able to make more use of that energy that's being wasted at the moment.
Okay. And as you mentioned, only New South Wales, South Australia and Southeast Queensland will have access to this offer initially, although the government wants to expand it elsewhere, it says, by 2027. So, Alison, let's look at how you could get, if you live in those states, these free hours of power. Now, as we said, you don't have to have solar yourself, but you do have to have a smart meter. Why is that?
So, if you've got an old-fashioned electricity meter, it just spins at the same rate whenever you're using electricity, regardless of what time of day it is. If you've got a smart meter, your retailer can actually see what you're using at different times of day and charge you different rates for that. And so what that allows you to do is to get access to cheaper rates at some times of day in return for more expensive rates at different times of day. So in order to get this 3 hours of free power, you would need to have the smart meter there so that the retailer knows not to charge you in the middle of the day.
Mm, all right. And you'll need to opt into this scheme. But of course, the huge catch here is that you need to be using the energy in the middle of the day. And well, most of us, of course, are not at home in the middle of the day. We're at work, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, the extent to which this actually makes electricity cheaper for people is going to vary a lot depending on what your lifestyle is. So if you're someone, for example, who works from home a couple of days a week, you might be able to shift to using more in the middle of the day. Mm-hmm. If you've got a swimming pool, you could, you know, set up your pool pump so that it's running in the middle of the day. If you've got a timer on your washing machine, you could set that up and that sort of thing. But there are some things where it's very hard for us to shift when we use that energy. Mm. None of us want to sort of cook dinner at midday and then eat that at 7 o'clock at night, right? We want to, you know, we want to cook just before we eat. Similarly, we need to use lights at night. We watch TV at night because that's when we're free to watch it. So the extent to which people are able to take advantage of it is very much going to vary a lot from household to household. I think one of the things that people are really hoping is that people who have electric vehicles will charge their cars during the middle of the day, because the amount of electricity it takes to charge an electric vehicle is very, very large compared to all of your other usage. Mm. So I think that's probably part of the hope that people who do that, and that's, you know, getting up towards 10% of cars now, that people will take advantage of that. And that also smooths the load out for the grid.
Mm, but tell me, what about on the days that it's raining or it's cloudy? Can you still get your 3 hours of free power then?
Yeah, I mean, this is a detail that the regulator is going to have to work out. So one of the things that energy retailers do is that they smooth out the bumps in when generation is available and what price it's available and give us a fixed price. I think what they will probably be doing is, as part of the design process, figuring out how much extra energy they need to procure and when in order to give you, in aggregate over the year, 3 hours of free power every day.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, Alison, let's now consider whether you think this will actually help bring power bills down, which is the ultimate aim, of course. Now, the power companies are really sceptical, and there is a fear that they will just have to claw back costs later in the day. So actually, you'll still be paying the same amount.
I think that's a real possibility. Mm-hmm. You know, selling electricity is what they call a high volume, low margin business. So the way that it's structured is you have a large volume of customers and you make a very small amount of profit on each one. And what that means is when you start to muck around with the pattern of tariffs, that really affects that very low margin that those businesses have.
Australian Energy Council CEO Louisa Kinnear argues the federal government should have consulted the industry.
Retailers are still incurring costs in the middle of the day, and they still need to find a way to recover those costs. They can't necessarily wear them, particularly smaller retailers who may not have, you know, a large customer base.
The thing, I guess, that where this might eventually flow through is that only about half of our bill is paying for the electricity itself. The other half is paying for the poles and wires. And at the moment, we build the poles and wires to meet the peak, right? Which means that for a lot of the day, they're not being fully used, but we're still paying for them. So if you can smooth out the load, you actually get better utilization of those poles and wires, and you're using them more constantly over the day. And over time, what that will mean is that there's less need to build new ones. So that's the thing that will start to push bills down, I think, rather than necessarily the 3 hours of free power, particularly if the way that they're balancing off that free power is the higher tariffs later in the day.
Okay, well, the Energy Minister, Chris Bowen, he says the Australian Energy Regulator will be watching over this to make sure that customers are getting a fair deal.
But this gives consumers the peace of mind that the AER, our independent regulator, has put the offers through their paces and ensured that there's no price gouging going on. It's in the best interest of the consumers. Now, the AER.
But will... I guess the confusing thing is, as we've said, Alison, there's so many more Australians using solar right now. They've got solar panels on their roofs, something like 4 million homes. So why is it that our power prices are still going up? When do they start to come down?
So even with those 4 million solar systems, those are not providing all of the electricity that we need. So it's not just households that use electricity. Most of the electricity that is consumed in Australia is consumed by businesses and heavy industry, and they don't have solar on their roofs. So it's kind of, you know, that solar is making somewhat of a difference, but not enough. The other thing is that a lot of the energy assets that we built in the 60s, 70s and 80s, so transmission lines, coal-fired power stations, even some of the gas power stations, are getting old and clunky and needing to be upgraded or replaced, or in the case of the coal, shut down. And so that means there's a large lump of capital that we need to spend in order to keep the lights on at the moment. And that lump of capital would be there regardless of whether we had climate targets or not. We built a whole lot of assets in a short space of time, and so they all get old in a short space of time.
But the transition is costing a lot as well, right? And that's kind of the worry of the Nationals, for instance. That's why they no longer like the idea of net zero. I mean, is there a point during this transition to renewables that power prices actually fall, or do we have to wait till the transition is actually completed?
Power prices are not actually the right metric to focus on. Mm-hmm. What matters to you is actually your total energy costs. If we look at the total amount that households spend across all forms of energy, most of what they spend money on is petrol. Mm-hmm. So electricity is the next biggest, and then gas is the smallest. Now, the trend that is happening in households is people shifting to using electricity for everything. And using electricity is a much more efficient way of getting the energy service that you want compared to burning a fuel like gas or petrol. And so what that means is that over time, households that electrify end up spending slightly more on electricity, but they're not buying petrol and they're not buying gas anymore. And what that means is overall, the amount their household spends on energy goes down. And so even though electricity, the price of each unit of electricity might be slightly higher, households actually end up better off.
It might seem a long way away for some people though, right?
That is sort of assuming that you have the money up front to make those changes, and not everybody has that. A lot of people will probably make those changes over time as the assets in their house wear out, but those savings will come over time because people are making that transition to something that is just genuinely a cheaper and better experience for them.
Yeah, it'll just take longer for some people than others, I suppose.
That's right, yeah.
All right, so just tell me then, on this offer from the government, this offer of 3 hours of free power, do you think that's really going to help, or do you think it's a bit of a gimmick?
I think it very much depends on what the design details end up being. Mm-hmm. I did note you said at the beginning that it's going to be opt-in. And the point of the default offer is to make sure that if for whatever reason you haven't been paying attention to which contract you're on an offer that isn't costing you too much. And every year, roughly about 10% of people are on that offer. So the people that this would make a difference for are people who are in that 10%, and then there will be the group who are in that 10% group who opt in to having the 3 hours of free power. So it's likely to be a fairly small group of people.
Alison Reeve is the Energy and Climate Change Deputy Program Director at the Grattan Institute. This episode was produced by Sydney Peed and Jessica Wukyanov. Audio production by Cinnamon Nippard. Our supervising producer is David Cody. I'm Sam Hawley. Don't forget to fill out our listener survey if you haven't already. Thanks for listening.